This is The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change your life. I'll ask the questions, and I'll let the book do the talking using words from its own pages. This is essentially a book interview. Your time is valuable, so let's get started. Today, I'll be interviewing Psycho-Cybernetics, the updated and expanded edition by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. It currently has an overall rating of 4.8 on Amazon, and a whopping 87% of the reviews call it a five-star book. Question number one, what's the book about? Answer, the system of psycho-cybernetics involves two parts. One, develop an adequate and realistic self-image. And two, use your creative mechanism for success and happiness in achieving your particular goals. The book contends that we are all built to conquer environment, solve problems, achieve goals, and we find no real satisfaction or happiness in life without obstacles to conquer and goals to achieve. Question. Let's start with the self-image. You state in the book that the most important psychological discovery of this century is the discovery of the self-image. Why is it so important? Answer. Whether we realize it or not, each of us carries with us a mental blueprint or picture of ourselves. This self-image is our own conception of the sort of person I am. It's been built up from our own beliefs about ourselves. But most of these beliefs about ourselves have unconsciously been formed from our past experiences, our successes, our failures, our humiliations, our triumphs, and the way other people have reacted to us, especially in childhood. From these, we mentally construct a self, or a picture of self. Once an idea or a belief about ourselves goes into this picture, it becomes true, as far as we personally are concerned. We don't question its validity, but proceed to act upon it as if it were real. Question. In the book, you go even further and write that the self-image is the foundation upon which our lives are built. Can you explain what you mean? Answer. The self-image is the key to human personality and human behavior. Change the self-image and you change the personality and the behavior. This self-image becomes a golden key to living a better life because all your actions, feelings, behaviors, even your abilities are always consistent with this self-image. In short, you will act like the sort of person you conceive yourself to be. Not only this, but you literally cannot act otherwise, in spite of all of your conscious effort to do so. Question. Is it possible to overdo it and create an inflated self-image? Answer. The aim of self-image psychology is not to create a fictitious self that's all-powerful, arrogant, egoistic, and all-important. Our aim is to find the real self and to bring our mental images of ourselves more in line with our goals. The unhappy failure-type personality cannot develop a new self-image by pure willpower or by arbitrarily deciding to do so. There must be some grounds, some justification, some reason for deciding that the old picture of self is in error and that a new picture is more appropriate. You cannot merely imagine a new self-image unless you feel that it's based on truth. When a person does change his self-image, he has this feeling that, for one reason or another, he finally sees or realizes the truth about himself. Question. What's your response to those who say, it sounds just a bit like positive thinking? Answer. Numerous patients have said to me something like the following. If you're talking about positive thinking, I've tried that before, and it just doesn't work for me. However, a little questioning invariably brings out that these individuals have employed positive thinking, or attempted to employ it, on external circumstances, or on some habit or character defect. They have never thought to change the thinking about the self who accomplishes these things. Positive thinking cannot be effectively used as a patch to the same old self-image. In fact, it's literally impossible to really think positively about a particular situation as long as you hold a negative concept of yourself. Numerous experiments have shown that once the concept of self is changed, other things consistent with the new concept of self are accomplished easily and without strain. Question: what are the action steps then to develop an adequate, healthy self-image? Answer: our current beliefs, whether good or bad, true or false, were formed without effort, with no sense of strain, and without the exercise of willpower. If you want to improve your self-image, you're to use the same method to build an adequate self-image that you previously used to build an inadequate one. You'll set aside time to relax and create a mental practice experience. In other words, you'll create an actual experience insofar as your nervous system is concerned. The important thing to remember is that during this exercise, you will see yourself acting, feeling, and being as you want to be. It doesn't matter how you acted yesterday. You don't need to try to have faith that you'll act this way in the future. Your nervous system will take care of that in time, if you continue to practice acting, feeling, and being your ideal future self. Question: it seems like there's a nuance here that's easy to miss. Are you saying that we're not supposed to imagine ourselves acting differently in the future? Answer: that's correct. Do not say to yourself, "I'm going to act this way tomorrow." Just say to yourself, "I'm going to imagine myself acting this way now for 30 minutes today." Experience it in your mind as happening now. Imagine how you would feel if you are already the sort of personality you want to be. If you have been shy and timid, see yourself moving among people with ease and poise and feeling good because of it. If you have been fearful and anxious in certain situations, see yourself acting calmly and deliberately, acting with confidence and courage, and feeling expansive and confident because you are. This exercise builds new memories or stored data in your midbrain and central nervous system. You're making memories to build a new image of self. After practicing it for a time, you'll be surprised to find yourself acting differently, more or less automatically and spontaneously, without trying. Question: the second half of psychocybernetics is about a power or a creative success mechanism within all human beings. Can you describe how it works? Answer: the brain and nervous system are continually leading us in the direction of the images we think about consciously, or images that are so much a part of us that we're led toward them on autopilot. The alcoholic or drug addict has goals just as much as the entrepreneur, politician, professional athlete, or mother-to-be. The physical brain is always functioning as an automatic creative mechanism that operates in only one way. It must have a target to shoot at. All of us have goals, whether we intentionally articulate them or not. When you see a thing clearly in your mind, the creative success mechanism takes over and does the job much better than you could do it by conscious effort or willpower alone. Question: so how do we fully engage this creative success mechanism within us? Answer: there are four principles to follow. Number one, your built-in success mechanism must have a goal or a target. This goal or target must be conceived of as already in existence, in the now. It's either in actual or potential form. Number two, the automatic mechanism is teleological. That is, it operates or must be oriented to end result goals. Think in terms of the end result, and the plans will often take care of themselves. Number three, don't be afraid of making mistakes. All servo mechanisms achieve a goal by negative feedback, or by going forward, making mistakes, and immediately correcting course. Number four, you must trust your creative mechanism to do the work and not jam it by attempting to force it with too much conscious effort. You must let it work rather than make it work. question. And to let it work, you say there is one simple secret to the operation of the creative success mechanism. What is it exactly? Answer. If there is one simple secret to the operation of your unconscious creative mechanism, it's this. Call up, capture, and evoke the feeling of success. When you feel successful and self-confident, you'll act successfully. When the feeling is strong, you can literally do no wrong. Simply capture the feeling you would experience if the desirable goal were already an accomplished fact. You'll then act spontaneously and creatively. You'll then use the powers of your subconscious mind. Then your internal machinery is geared for success to guide you in making the correct actions and adjustments, to supply you with creative ideas, and to do whatever is necessary in order to make the goal an accomplished fact. Question. And one of the ways to capture this winning feeling is another unique idea. Remove the deadline. Can you explain why this is beneficial? Answer. Unlike other self-help systems, our system does not tell you to set a deadline for the goals you want to achieve. This doesn't mean that having an end date attached to your goal is wrong, but it may be wrong for the goal. There are goals that are helped with deadlines and goals that are hindered. If you attach a definite date to the goal, you may actually clog the mechanism and cause a jam. You'll know if you've done such a thing if you begin to feel tense or nervous about whether or not you can achieve the goal by the date you've set for yourself. Some people who have set financial goals and put dates on them can't figure out why they've gone into a negative mental state. Oftentimes, it's because they have trouble believing that they can achieve the financial goal by the date they've set. You could just begin to imagine the goal and feel good about having it. You could imagine what you want, and when the action steps come to you, you follow through. Once you've taken these actions, you make progress. You may be surprised to find that you feel better and achieve your goal sooner than you'd expected. Why? Because you never had to fight a belief about when you were going to achieve the goal. You only had to convince yourself that you could and you would achieve the goal. Your automatic nervous system never got jammed. Question. Another uncommon idea in the book is not trying to believe in your goals with absolute faith at first. What then do you recommend? Answer. Mentally, begin to play with the idea of complete and inevitable success. Don't force yourself. Don't attempt to coerce your mind. Don't try to use effort or willpower to bring about the desired conviction. Just do what you do when you worry. Only do the same thing about a positive goal and a desirable outcome, rather than a negative goal and an undesirable outcome. Don't begin by trying to force yourself to have absolute faith in the desired success. This is too big a bite for you to mentally digest at first. Use gradualness. Begin to think about the desired end result as you do when you worry about the future. When you worry, you don't attempt to convince yourself that the outcome will be undesirable. Instead, you begin gradually. You usually begin with a suppose. In other words, you mentally say to yourself, just suppose such a thing could happen. You repeat this idea over and over to yourself. You play with it. Next comes the idea of the possibility. Well, after all, you say, such a thing is possible. It could happen. And then comes the mental imagery. You begin to picture to yourself all the various negative possibilities. You play with these imaginative pictures over and over to yourself, adding small details and refinements. As the picture becomes more and more real to you, appropriate feelings begin to manifest themselves, just as if the imagined outcome had already happened. And this is the way that fear and anxiety develop. Question. And by contrast, to build faith, you suggest the same process in reverse. Answer. Faith and courage are developed in exactly the same way. Only your goals are different. If you're going to spend time in worry, why not worry constructively? Begin by outlining and defining to yourself the most desirable possible outcome. begin with your suppose. Suppose the best possible outcome did actually come true. Next, remind yourself that after all, this could happen. Not that it will happen, not at this stage, but only that it could happen. Remind yourself that, after all, such a good and desirable outcome is possible. You can mentally accept and digest these gradual doses of optimism and faith. After having thought of the desired end result as a definite possibility, begin to imagine what the desirable outcome would be like. Go over these mental pictures and delineate the details and refinements. Play with them over and over to yourself. As your mental images become more detailed, you'll find that once more, appropriate feelings are beginning to manifest themselves just as if the favorable outcome had already happened. This time, the appropriate feelings will be those of faith, self-confidence, and courage. You'll notice all of them wrapped up in one winning feeling. Question. This is all great advice for someone who has a clear goal, but what's your advice to the person who has no definite purpose in life? Answer, get yourself a goal worth working for. Better still, get yourself a project. Decide what you want out of a situation. Always have something ahead of you to look forward to work for, and to hope for. Look forward, not backward. We are engineered as goal-seeking mechanisms. We are built that way. When we have no personal goal that we're interested in, and it means something to us, we're apt to go around in circles, feel lost, and find life itself aimless and purposeless. We're built to conquer environment, solve problems, achieve goals, and we find no real satisfaction or happiness in life without obstacles to conquer and goals to achieve. People who say that life is not worthwhile are really saying that they themselves have no personal goals that are worthwhile. Develop a nostalgia for the future instead of for the past. When you're not goal striving, not looking forward, you're not really living. Last question. In the book, you suggest doing mental visualizations for 30 minutes a day. What do you say to those who don't have time for this? Answer. Visualizations that last 10 to 15 minutes can result in extraordinary changes. The biggest key is to practice every day. Once you've established this habit and you're seeing and feeling the results, it's easy to find more time. With each consecutive day of practice, your ability to picture and feel positive will increase. Over time, this leads to a feeling of being in flow. Yet this flow doesn't come if you only read the book or practice once in a while. It's the daily bath you take in the principles of psychocybernetics that makes the difference. And finally, my favorite quotes from the book are as follows. Change the self-image and you change personality and behavior. Make memories in your imagination to build a new image of self. See yourself acting, feeling, and being as you want to be. Relax and create a mental practice experience. Within you right now is the power to do things you never dreamed possible. And that's it for this book interview with Psychocybernetics, the updated and expanded edition by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. You've been listening to The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change your life. You can order this book in the links below or on our website if you'd like to support our cause. It puts a few pennies in our pockets without taking any pennies out of yours. As always, thank you for your time.